Welcome to another episode of the CC Podcast Conversations, where inspiring Christians share their faith-filled stories. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, leave a five-star rating, and write a review. This helps push our content to a broader audience. Are you new to listening? Check out our other podcasts. First, the CC Podcast Daily Dose Devotions, where we're walking through the Bible, focusing on short clips of scripture. Second is the CC Broadcast, where our weekly radio programming is archived. These podcasts are available wherever you're listening or at ChristianCrusaders.org. Okay, let's get started with today's episode. Here's our host, Matt Reister, the Executive Director of Christian Crusaders.
Hey everybody, Matt Reister here with the CC Podcast Conversations. This is our Digging Deeper episodes series. Tim and I, Tim obviously is our radio preacher, and Tim, great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
I can take these earphones off now. So one thing I was thinking of before we get into the meat of this, it's Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of threw this thing together at the last minute.
Squeeze it in when we can.
We both got a lot going on. And it made me think about, and it might be encouraging or fun for people to hear, like just our philosophy of work and hours and all that. I think we're kind of similar in that. We both have jobs and vocations where we're kind of always...
Yeah, it's a vocation, not a job. I mean, we're here to advance the kingdom of God. I know that's your heart.
Yeah.
And we have different arenas that we do it in, but ultimately... And that's the whole mission of my life from 25 years ago, to glorify God and advance his kingdom in all that I say and do. I don't really care when, where, or how I get to do it. And I know you're the same.
And so you're not always going to find me in my office at 8 a.m.
Right.
And checking out at 5 p.m.
Yeah. You run a little more non-trad.
And sometimes if you come into my office and I happen to be there between those hours, I might be working on something else.
Yep.
Quote unquote, something else.
Right.
But in my mind, it's all kingdom.
Yeah.
And so for the bean counters and the HR people who, that's a little scary.
You would put them on the bottle. They would have a hard time with me, but for you, and there's a lot of times I'll be driving home and see your light on up here
late
at
night.
Yeah. And you work late, and you get stuff done. I mean, the whole thing is about productivity.
The other day I was in here at 6 and I'm not a morning person, but I woke up, I figured what else am I going to do? I might as well go in or be in here late. But I just thought it's interesting that like God wires certain types of people to be like we did this morning, like, hey, can we do this?
Yeah.
What time?
Yeah.
12:30?
Totally.
Okay, let's go.
And it works.
And it's like, but there's other people who are like, well, it's Saturday. Like,
right.
Not only am I not doing that, but I wish you wouldn't call me on a Saturday.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, yep.
And that's, God made them that way.
Yeah.
And they're probably super productive in their little 8 to 5 window. And so it's just a philosophy of work.
Totally. And whenever I think about this, my mind just reflects back on Jesus' life and ministry.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes he was tired, tried to withdraw, and he couldn't. Other times he kind of captured time to get away, and he got it.
Yep.
But a lot of times, it was willy-nilly how they went about their work.
Yeah.
And the disciples never knew what was coming next. And that's part of the adventure, I think, of the Christian life.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, God surprised you with an opportunity. Just go do it.
Yeah. So, the flexibility is great. Thanks for coming in on a Saturday and doing this. And, I guess the other side where that can be a problem is if it gets abused, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
And I've been guilty of that in the past.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm getting paid by these guys to do a certain job, and... this isn't the case with Christian Crusaders.
Right.
But in other
roles. But you want to more than carry your weight.
That's right.
In your arenas. You want to. I mean, that's Christ-like.
Yeah.
To give more than what's expected.
Yep. And how do you handle Sabbath with this lifestyle?
Yeah. Well, we did a Ten Commandments on the Sabbath.
We haven't done a Digging Deeper.
Okay. So my thing in the Sabbath is, obviously under the law, it was on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And it was a designated day. And now we kind of see the Sabbath as Sunday, but part of the Sabbath is entering the rest of God. It's part of living in a rest by faith 7 days a week. Then you're living in the rest of God.
Yeah.
And then you find good rest. And certainly there's time to pause and step out of work. And I believe a rhythm of every 7 days stepping out for a little bit is part of God's design.
Interesting.
But there's a deeper rest that... when you're a believer, you're supposed to walk in and enter.
Just this last week, I came across an old sermon from 2000 by a guy named John Ortberg called It All Goes Back in the Box.
Mm, yeah.
And I actually moved it over to
it's a great sermon,
to digital, and I put it on YouTube, and I've been sharing it with friends just this week.
Right.
And I, in fact, I'll link it to the notes of this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
People are going to want to hear this message.
Such a great message.
But he talks in there about ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life.
Yes.
And that's what you're talking about when you're talking about live in the rest of God.
Yes.
Because I was talking to Jen about this week. You would fit in the same category. We got so many balls in the air.
Yep.
And there's so many things on our schedule. And so in one sense, I'm super, super busy. But in another sense, and I hadn't listened to that sermon for 20 years.
And he talks about that in there. I don't remember that part
of it. He talks about hurry sickness.
Mm-hmm.
But I have, by the grace of God, now there are times when I'm kind of frantically running around.
Right.
Like
right.
I'm in a hurry.
Right.
But
which is no fun.
No.
It's not fun.
It's not. But I've been able to, despite being real busy mm-hmm. and having a lot going on yeah. and a lot on my mind, still be restful for the most part.
Yes. Because you're walking in the peace of God. And you're not stressed about all the things because you're just learning yeah. to trust God with all of them.
Yeah.
Because what can you do anyway?
Yeah.
I mean.
That's really good. I didn't plan on talking about all this, but.
Yeah, that's part of the Ten Commandments, the laws of life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That he gave us in love yeah. and he wants us to know how to live in rest and
still
be productive.
We've been doing this series and it's kind of followed your preaching at Nazareth.
Right.
They did a series on the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
And today we're going to talk about the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother,
yep.
Which you titled Honor Where We Came From.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about a broken world, not everybody even knows their father and mother.
Yeah.
But they came from someone, and they came from somewhere
yep.
by God's sovereign design yep. and plan. And so honoring where you came from, I think, is a better, you know, broader picture.
Everyone can relate to that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whether I have a deadbeat dad or whether I know who my mom is.
Or you were raised by a grandparent or somebody right. who adopted you or something like,
yeah,
you know.
That's good. So one of the points that you made early on in your message was, you know, just the way that the Ten Commandments are laid out. This is kind of the hinge point mm-hmm. from the first portion of Ten Commandments.
Right.
The first four.
Yep.
And the last six.
Yep.
Talk about that.
Yeah. First four or first three, depending on how you number them,
yep.
right? And we talk about that a little bit. But the whole first part of the Ten Commandments is about a relationship with God. And then God turns the corner. And by the way, he wrote these, we believe, with his own finger on tablets of stone. The Bible itself is inspired by God through the pen of human beings. The Holy Spirit inspired it here. But when you get to the Ten Commandments, this is something God inspired and wrote himself for us on tablets of stone.
I want to spend a second on that.
Yeah.
Two things. Number one, this is just, and I hope this is a recurring theme. I know it is in all the content that we put on Christian Crusaders, is just reminding people, yes, we actually do believe the Bible.
Yeah.
We believe it is inerrant. We believe it's infallible. It's inspired. And so when it says what you just said,
yeah.
we literally believe
yeah.
that in some supernatural way,
totally.
There were these tablets,
totally.
And God's finger somehow inscribed the Ten Commandments for Moses on Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb. Are they the same thing?
Horeb. I don't think they are. But
I think you said Horeb
yeah.
in your sermon.
Yes.
But I think he was on Sinai.
No, he was on Horeb.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Anyway.
We could look it up.
But. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fact check that. But he literally wrote these on tablets.
Yeah. And Moses couldn't really look at him. But he was there when
yes.
he wrote him. And it actually frightened the people, you know, in God's appearance like that. But to believe in the Bible, to really believe in the Bible, is to believe in the supernatural.
Did you ever know a guy named Arvid Washek?
I've heard the name.
Arvid Washek was married to Elsa.
Okay.
And Arvid started Iowa Laser Company.
Okay.
His daughter is Ann Peterson, Ann and Chuck. Chuck was a doctor
oh, yeah,
in town.
Yeah,
they yep. have six kids.
Mm-hmm.
Randy's an assistant basketball coach down okay. at Iowa for the women.
Yep.
Cedar Falls yep. family. Arvid was kind of a friend of mine. He was like Homer's vintage.
Okay.
About that age.
Right, right.
And Arvid was like a mad scientist, and he was an inventor. And he started Iowa Laser Company. I think he worked as an engineer at John Deere before this. Mm. But in the 80s, he read a magazine some popular mechanics or scientific magazine, and it was talking about lasers.
Mm, and which is more pure light than we've had before.
Yes, and so it's like lasers are focusing light yes. in a really, really intense way so it can cut through material
yeah.
in a really precise way.
Yes.
And he gets this idea. Arvid told me that he and his grandkids, he didn't sleep at night. He slept terrible all the time. And he said the reason was he just constantly his had mind. Ideas
yep.
and inventing
this
stuff.
This is Thomas Edison.
It's crazy.
The same way.
And so Arvid took me out for lunch one day at Village Inn.
Okay.
And he just wanted to talk. And he said to me one time, he said, Matt, you're one of the only people who listens to me anymore. Everyone else thinks I'm crazy. So I just want to buy you lunch yeah, right, and I want right. to run some ideas past you. This is probably 20 years ago.
Right.
He's been gone for a while. And one of those lunches that we had, Arvid explained to me that he thinks the vehicle through which God inscribed the tablets with his finger was what we would understand as lasers. Laser. Like he somehow focused light. God is light. Like you said,
right.
Moses couldn't even,
right.
he couldn't even see the backside of him.
Right.
Because right. it was so intense. We can't look on the face of God. So Arvid's like, God is light. And in some way,
yes.
he like laser-fied his yes. light to inscribe. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. yeah. Well, I just listened to this short little snippet on laser light and how when we understood laser light and we put them on precious jewels, some of them go gray and some of them reflect all kinds of brilliant colors.
Hmm.
And the 12 that reflect the most... This is interesting, are the 12 that are the foundation of the New Jerusalem. When you study the scriptures,
wow.
you read those precious stones that are in there, and they've done the laser test, and you know what diamonds do? They go black. They're not there. And we consider diamonds one of the top ones. But the 12 that are listed in there are
That's
the ones
crazy.
That reflect true, pure light in the spectrum of the way it is. So God knew that.
That's crazy.
Even when he was, you know, prophesying the building of what's coming.
Wow. Anyway.
Yeah.
Fascinating. And yes, we believe the Bible is true. And yes, we believe that God inscribed it with his finger, like the Bible says.
Yep.
You know, one of my things is like, even when I come across something in scripture that I have a hard time grasping.
Yep.
Like Jonah.
Right.
In a fish
right.
for 3 days.
Right.
I willingly choose to believe what it says.
Yep.
Because do I think I'm smarter?
Right.
Like, who do I think I am?
100%.
And so I believe that Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Have I doubted that before? Yes. Do I totally understand how? No. And there's other different people kind of struggle with different miracles.
Yes.
But yeah. it's like, I'm gonna align myself.
One. Right.
You know?
Yeah, totally. I'm with you. And just if you take the Bible literally for what it is in creation, and then you start to study the world from that point of view, all the evidence just pops out at you.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to start with some other basis,
yeah.
well, you make up stuff. You
yeah.
just start making
That's
up
awesome.
Stuff.
Anyway, you were talking about how the first part of the Ten Commandments
yep.
were about our relationship
Four.
With God.
And then it switches to our relationship and how we relate with each other in love.
And so you were asking the question, why is this the first of the human relationship
yes.
ones?
When I got to prepping the message, I was like, okay, Lord, why'd you start here? And you know, what I'm trying to do when I prepare a message is the Holy Spirit and I trying to prepare.
Yeah,
I try to pray, be in tune with the Spirit, and be thinking and praying. And so the question I had was, Lord, why'd you start right here? And I felt like he said, because that's where humanity starts, between a man and a woman, a mother and a father.
So if the remainder of these commandments have to do with human relationships,
yeah,
this is the one.
It's the crucial starting point of the formation of your heart. And so if you're going to love people freely through your heart has to be right from where you came from. If you're bitter or hurt or wounded from the source that gave you life, well, that's going to sort of spill out in different ways. And so I believe God said the first part of loving well people in the world is dealing well with where you came from. And that's a hard command in a broken and fallen world. I mean, it's a high calling for some people to honor where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
Because
people, or more specifically, honor their mother and father.
Or mother and father, yeah. And some people don't know their mother and father. Some people know who their mother and father were and are, and they were very abusive. And some people had great parents who did a lot of work to upbring them, and then obeying this command's a little easier.
Yeah.
But if you don't get your heart right and steward your heart right towards your past, it affects your present.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a lot of work that people have to go through to actually honor their mother and father, whom God used to bring them into yeah. this world.
One thing that you talked about, even preceding honor your mother and father is what precedes having kids.
Marriage.
Marriage.
The sanctity of marriage and this marriage union. By God's design, the most perfect representation of the image of Him in all of creation. He separates His gender, Himself, into two genders. And obviously, God is displayed in the Scripture as masculine and feminine in different ways. And when He created human beings, I don't know if He put His whole nature into Adam initially, but then He said it's not good for man to be alone. And if He pulled some of the feminine characteristics out of Adam, put him into a feminine body, you know, and then brought her to the man. Now you have sort of a community of oneness between a man and a woman, which we know of as marriage, which God is a community of oneness. And so that's the reflection of Him. And of course, the devil hates it.
Yeah.
Because it is the most perfect representation of the image of God. And so that's where God uses, the procreation of life comes out of this design. And then you want to respect that design where you came from, even if it was a mess and broken, because that affects our hearts and how we live in the world today.
For anyone keeping score at home, another thing you just mentioned in passing is, yes, we believe in an historical Adam.
Yeah.
And we believe that Eve was created just the way that the Bible says.
Right.
I mean, this is hard for people, but it's like...
I don't know. I'll tell you what. The things some people believe are a lot harder.
I know.
I mean, I tell you came from a little organism and evolved into a monkey and then whatever. I mean, okay, so where's the evidence?
Yeah.
And where's the sort of transmutation right now?
Yeah.
If this is true.
I know it.
I just can't even comprehend.
I know it.
The idea of believing.
I laugh that. Because people look at people like us who believe this like, oh, you have amazing faith. Like, no, you have amazing faith. Yes. Like, I don't have enough faith to believe that other nonsense.
Right.
This actually is pretty reasonable.
Right.
And there's evidence
intelligent
to back
design,
it up.
Design, power made all this.
Yeah.
A loving power created it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I'm listening and as I'm thinking about these daily or these digging deepers that we do, I listen to your message and I just jot down some notes. And so one of the questions I had, and I don't, you might not have an answer for this, but as I was listening to you talk about God manifesting His masculine characteristics in male and His feminine characteristics in female, why do you think it is that we still refer to God as He, despite the fact that He has feminine and masculine?
Yeah. My gut feeling is, well, He represents Himself that way.
Yeah, okay.
In the inspired word.
Yep.
So I think that's, take note of that.
Yep.
I mean, He did that. He came as a man.
Yep.
And I would say, in a sense, the church is, when you think of masculine as initiating, moving forward, and feminine as cultivating and bringing life, God is both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when God relates with us, He is the initiator. Always.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that in natural law, the way men and women are made.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think of us, even the church, we're the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We are feminine in how we respond to Him and how He initiates to us, calls us to Himself, gives us power, you know, the power to bear fruit and all this stuff. So all I can say is that's the way He's revealed Himself.
Yeah.
And you can not like it.
Yep.
But it's what He did.
Yep.
And the more that I've lived into it and kind of understood it, the more I just celebrate it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just,
We've already mentioned a little bit kind of the brokenness of marriages, the brokenness of families, the brokenness of God's design in how we raise children. A lot of people being raised, you know, in broken ways.
Right.
And so it makes this difficult to talk about, difficult to obey this commandment.
Yep.
And I was just saying to you just briefly before we started recording, I was just dealing with a situation literally within the last 45 minutes. And over the course of my time in ministry around young people for decades in different ways, the carnage behind being raised in a single parent home or being raised in a situation where a parent is not particularly honorable.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we help kids like the one I was just talking to overcome insecurity, overcome self-doubt, overcome kind of fits of rage, overcome, I would broadly put this under the category of what I call daddy issues.
Right. And they're all over.
And they're all over.
Yep.
And then how do we help not the kids of these situations, but how do we help the people who actually created them in some ways? Yeah. How do we help the quote unquote deadbeat dad who's right. coming to a realization like, man, I fumbled the ball and I got to get this right? Or how do we help the couple that decided to have kids out of wedlock mm-hmm. and it created a bigger mess than they anticipated? Mm-hmm. These kind of things.
Right.
You know, what's I think difficult from a pastoral perspective or from a church's mm-hmm. perspective is how do we unapologetically toe the line
right.
on these things?
Yep.
This is right. This is wrong.
Right.
But also be sensitive and compassionate yeah. to yeah. the burdens that people bear.
Totally. And I mean, the command is honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you. Now, with compassion, you say that may take you a long time to learn how to honor where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a work over the course of your entire life. I mean, I think of, we both know a gentleman who was raised by a dad who shot his pets right in front of him, you know, and was just abusive of his son.
I actually want to name him because it's on the public record.
Yeah, yeah. Ron Gruber. He's got a podcast.
Ron Gruber.
Here. Yeah.
And his story of going into a gang, committing mm-hmm. murder, spending mm-hmm. time in prison, coming to the Lord, mm-hmm. and now doing ministry is an amazing, amazing story. I'll put that link in the pod in the notes for this as well. Ron Gruber, we did a interview, a conversation with him. Anyway, go ahead.
But think if you're Ron and your dad raised you and beat your mom and beat you and the anger that welled up inside of him, what has to happen to Ron for him to honor his father and mother?
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, he's got to be healed by God.
Yeah.
His heart has to be softened. Yeah. He has to come to know the love of a heavenly father.
Yeah.
Then he has to learn to have compassion on the brokenness of his father.
Yep.
And the insanity that his father went through. Then he's got to do the process of forgiveness and, you know, washing out his soul mm-hmm. so that he can come. And then he's got to have boundaries. You don't just go running back to your dad and yeah. say, Dad, we're all good, because probably not all good. And, I mean, that can take years and years and years for a person.
I remember Ron's story is way more than his relationship with his dad, so I'm not spoiling anything that you shouldn't listen to. But I specifically remember he talked about how he was able to, in his heart, forgive his dad. Mm. And he went and talked to his dad and said, Dad, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. And he said that his dad just kind of grunted at him and was kind of like, why would I need to be forgiven?
Right.
And then I think he, shortly after that, died. So there was never any kind of like full-blown reconciliation.
Right. Right.
But to Ron's credit, to the degree that it was possible for him, he honored his father.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And it's what's good for his heart, for Ron. And this is not so much about doing something for our parents. It's about for our heart, so we're free and healed from whatever we grew up with, so we can live the fullness of life for ourselves and for those we're serving right
and
now.
And you're honoring God.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, by obeying him. And he just wired it this way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You mentioned a gal who came up to you between the services.
Yeah.
Talk about—
Tears.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot of people at different stages in this process. And when they hear it and they hear how important it is, it sort of jolts them out of, you know, maybe the denial that they're living in, that their bitterness is deeper than they thought.
Yeah.
They don't have their boundaries right with their parents, so they're getting run over still. And, you know, it floods them. Mm-hmm. Because then, in a sense, when you hear a message like that and you're not dealing well with it, it's a call to deal with it.
Yeah.
And these are tough issues to deal with. I mean, this is the depth of where we came from as people.
You and I are both blessed to have come from situations where it's easier to honor our parents, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, this is maybe controversial, especially in 2020, George Floyd was killed, and then there was all this talk about white privilege and privilege this, privilege that. And as I evaluated and thought about all that, I mean, I'm a white man. Supposedly, I've got some privilege, and whatever.
What choice did you have in that?
This is how I came out.
Right.
But, you know, as I evaluate my life and I think about the things that have given me, quote unquote, the most privilege, my whiteness is way down the list.
Mm.
Being born in America,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
That's a huge advantage.
Mm-hmm.
being born to Tom and Jan Reister, massive, massive advantage. Yeah. I don't have daddy issues.
Right.
I don't have a father wound.
Right.
I don't have all this baggage that this kid who I'm talking with 45 minutes ago has. My dad and mom were respectable people in the community, so that there were doors open to me.
Totally.
Because I was Tom and Jan Reister's son.
Right.
And so it's like the benefit, if you really sit back and think about this, and I know a little bit of your story, your parents came to faith kind of in the middle, and there was some alcoholism in your extended family. But and
watch like, my folks do a lot to bless.
But think about what advantages we have had, or now, I mean, not to brag, but think about the advantages that our kids have because of the path God's had us on.
Totally. Totally.
And it's like, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect, but we've tried to do this by God's design, and generations will be blessed. And compare that with the other.
Yeah. Well, and I think God knows all this. You know, and what's going through my mind when you're sharing that is Luke 12:48, where Jesus said, to whom much is given, you're given this kind of head start in a broken world.
Yeah.
Much is expected. Much is required. And so the call on our life, what? What does God expect from us? Well, we want to give him everything we can with it. And he knows if you were raised in like a Ron Gruber.
Yeah.
And so the work for him to work through all that and you know, God's just perfect and just in what he sees and how he weighs the world. And he had us born here. I'm grateful he did. But he's producing people all over the world in different socioeconomic statuses by his sovereign will, by his sovereign design.
And he's expecting different things of them.
Yeah, and everyone's
and he's got
accountable.
Callings for them.
Right, right. And but a plumb line is, if you don't steward your heart right to where you came from, and learn how to honor where you came from, it's going to trip you up your whole life. And that's the root of this command is, what are the boundaries needed? What's the honesty level needed about where you came from? What do you need to process so that you can get free from whatever wounds of your past, whatever bitterness you have in your past, so you can live kind of under the flow of the Holy Spirit? And that's a process for people, depending on where they came from. Everybody, it's a process, but... And I think it's a thing God works over time.
One kind of big question that I have, even as we talk about the Ten Commandments, is this whole notion of the law and the gospel.
Yeah.
So there's a guy who I've been turned on to recently named Andrew Farley.
Okay.
He's got this ministry. It's on pray.com, actually.
Okay.
But beyond that, and he's been recommended to me by several people who I view as reputable, and it's called like the Grace something, and his whole deal is he wants to help people focus on the fact that if you know Christ, you are righteous before God.
Yeah.
God's grace is totally sufficient. It's, and so in Christ, we approach these Ten Commandments differently than the original recipients of the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament Jews, approached them. The role of the law for believing Christians after the cross and the in the empty tomb is different than the role of the law back then. So how do we pursue living this way without somehow getting it confused with thinking like I'm attaining righteousness based on whether I'm failing or succeeding in this measuring stick.
Right. I mean, as a Christian, you start and you've already won, right?
Yeah.
You won the game.
Yeah.
I'm adopted into God's family. I've been declared clean before him. I stand in grace, by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ. But then if you want to live a full life, his Holy Spirit in you is going to lead you down the path of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to give you, and so you can know, like, if God's working in your life and things are confusing and you don't know how to process your past and the Holy Spirit's showing you some of this, he's probably trying to heal you, work through you so that you can honor this commandment and be free, not by your own human effort, but by his grace, by his Spirit, working in us. So I believe it's still a pupil, so we have some sense of what God is doing in us when he starts working in our lives. Mm-hmm. He's going to work to have us love him first. Mm-hmm. Commandment number one. He's going to produce in us the fruit of wanting to honor and revere his name, you know, take his name seriously. He's going to want to help us enter a rest with mm-hmm. him and walk in a renewing rest with him. The Spirit wants to do this, and he wants to help us find a way to love and honor where we came from, no matter what it was, with the right boundaries and melting our heart. And even if all we can do is pray for those people that raised us mm-hmm. and not ever see them in life, mm-hmm. we can be free from all the negative influence of them. And then when you go through the rest of the commandments, the Holy Spirit's not going to lead us or direct us against those. Mm-hmm. They're like guide rails to guide mm-hmm. us in what God is probably working in our lives.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, one of the things I think about the Ten Commandments and just kind of the design of God, I mean, there are things outside the Ten Commandments that are part of God's design, like for the family.
Yep.
There are things about sexuality that are within the design of God. But in general, it's like not viewing these as rules or to-dos that I have to like kind of begrudgingly
right.
do to keep God from being too mad at me.
Yeah.
It's more like, dude, these are in place for my benefit.
Totally.
And if I'm going to live a fulfilled life,
it's I'm going to live within this. Yes. They lead to the fullness of life. It's like a map given us to the treasure. You know what yeah. I mean? The treasure of rich life.
And I think what's a little, I'm listening to a audiobook right now of Prince Harry's autobiography. Mm. It's called Spare.
Okay.
He's not the heir, he's the spare.
Okay.
And I'm learning a little bit of insight about British culture and monarchy and all this stuff. But I'm also, I don't think he's a believer. And he's just this guy who's mm-hmm. living this way.
Yeah.
He's generally a good guy.
Right.
And he has lived by his own just kind of description of his life in many ways outside of God's design. Mm. Mm-hmm. And you look at a guy like Prince Harry and it seems to be going pretty well for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you even look at you or me at times when we've lived outside of God's design. You can kind of get by with it for a while and it's actually can be kind of fun sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's difficult to stay in the mindset of
these
rules are actually the way to life.
Yeah.
Cause sometimes it seems like, no, the life is out here.
Yeah.
And this is cramping my life.
Right. That's the whole world pitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The pitch the world gives, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It seems so enticing.
Yeah.
But it ultimately is enslaving.
Yeah.
And I mean, the news about their lives is not all roses.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
right. Right.
I mean, it's just how it is. So here's the part of this. One, learning to honor them. But then if you are a mother and father, how do you make this easy for those children coming behind you? You know, that was the second part of my message.
Yep.
Is not only do the work to honor where you came from, but then if God gives you the grace to be a parent, act in an honorable way towards your children and ask God to give you the grace to do this and mature. And kids grow us up, you know, if we're willing to let them. Mm-hmm. And then I hit some key things on how to honor kids so that makes it easy to honor you. And you know, speak to them encouragingly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you listen to this message. Which part of it jumped out at you the most?
I mean, when you get to the second half of it, where it's kind of like a list of give them your ear,
yeah,
give them your touch.
Listen to them.
I was thinking of different ways that my parents did that well with me or that I've done it well with my kids. I was also aware of a couple ways that I haven't done it well. Mm-hmm. And one of them is the give them your ear.
Mm.
And another one is speak encouragingly. I encourage my kids. Right. I tell them I'm proud of them. They know that I love them unconditionally. But I could sometimes be a little too critical.
Yeah.
Sometimes and not encouraging enough. One thing I struggle with on that is like I'm also coaching basketball kids, some of whom come from homes where it's all only encouragement.
All positive. Yeah, they can't handle. Yeah,
And that's destructive. Mm-hmm. So part of me is going, well, yeah, you better, I mean, justifying my own maybe over-criticism sometimes, you know what I mean? Or the whole give them your ear. You know, we've got these dang phones and we've got all these balls in the air and things on our minds. Sometimes I don't do a great job of just listening to my kids.
Where they're at.
And not even like in a heart-to-heart deep conversation, but just like they come home from practice and want to tell me about something, or they come home from their friend's house and just we're chatting, and it's kind of like I'm distracted sometimes. And So those are a couple of things that are going through my mind.
And how to personalize the kids. It's time and energy and work to do it.
We've got four kids.
Right.
And they're all different. You talked about Adrian and Ike and you with blessing them with touch, appropriate touch.
Yeah.
And blessing them before they go to bed.
Right.
And Ike is a touch guy. Yeah. So he's just kind of soaking it
no
up.
No problem.
And Adrian's cold as ice. Yeah, she's like, let's get this over with. Yeah. And so adjusting to that.
Yeah.
Instead of kind of being the same way to all the kids.
Yep.
That's a challenge.
And it's hard. If you didn't experience any of these things in your upbringing, how do you give them? Only by the grace of God.
Yep.
And by being healed and softened by God to behave in a different way. And but if parents are intentional in this, prayerful in this, I believe the Holy Spirit leads them in it. And even if they don't do it perfectly, he honors that. And it helps break chains in the past that need broken, you know, cut off and healthier emotionally, mentally, physically. Mm-hmm. Kids get that way if they're blessed, you know, and nurtured.
I remember thinking of a thing that happened with Mason, our oldest son. He was leaving. He'd been home for the summer from college and he lived at our house.
Okay.
And he was leaving.
Yep.
And we were going to see him a lot. Mm-hmm. He was going down to... He might have been going to UNI, or maybe he was going down to Iowa City. But anyway, it was fall, and we were going to be down there a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was maybe going to see him in 3 days.
Right.
You know,
right.
So it's not like...
It's not like a huge goodbye.
He's moving across the country or something like that. But for whatever reason, I'm sitting on the couch, and he's like, okay, I'm out of here. And, you know, we kind of... And I'm like, all right, see you later. And I just got convicted.
Yeah. You made light of it a little bit.
Yeah, after he was gone, like, go hug your son.
Right.
Like... You're going to see him in 3 days, but he's kind of officially leaving for the summer. And
give him a little attaboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that kind of ate at me a little bit. And so I wasn't able to give him a hug or fix that, but I just sent him a voice memo like, hey, you know, I don't want to be this kind of calloused dad who.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I just did another podcast for some young dads that are doing older dads. And they were kind of talking about what wisdom would I give?
Yeah.
And, you know, after dropping Ike off, you look back and think, well, it did go fast.
Yeah.
And the moments you had that you captured to really invest in your children, you will never regret. I mean...
Yeah. And what I'm thinking about as I'm talking and listening to you and thinking about what I just said, I think that I think Mason will remember that voice memo.
Mm-hmm. Because there was a sense too of
more than he'll remember
apology in it.
More than he would remember if I would have caught him on the way out the door.
Right.
And so the reason I say that is because there are probably some parents out here who listen to this going, well, I've fumbled a lot of ways too.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah.
Well, just, you don't have to fix the whole world right now.
Yeah, no.
You don't have to go and make up for all this lost stuff. Pick one or two things. Christmas is coming up. You're probably going to see your kids.
Yeah.
Do one or two things that are intentional. And if you haven't been intentional in that way, your kid will notice it.
100%.
And it'll have a huge impact.
And you have no idea what a little grace does. And a little, even like what you know, part of what the point I made in that sermon was, if you are sorrowful over your shortcomings.
Yeah.
That's honoring your kids.
Yeah.
And all of us have them. I mean, none of us are perfect parents. And if they see you trying, it means so much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge.
The other thought that crossed my mind is Mason might not remember any of this. He might not remember the voice memo.
Right.
but the thing was, is it impacted me.
Yeah.
And so now, whatever the Lord did in all that is next time.
Yep.
And I, I'm going to be more intentional. I'm not going to let that slip away in however that manifests itself.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll get sharper.
I'm also like, you don't have to hug your kid every single time they leave the house. Right. You know what I mean? But it's like,
But it's just in the flow of life. What's the general tone they're feeling from you?
Yeah.
You know, and how are you personalizing them and sharing with them their dignity as a person?
Yeah.
Because if they feel dignified and you dignified them, they're going to honor you.
Yeah.
It's going to make it easy for them. Mm-hmm. They're not going to wrestle with that in their hearts.
Yeah.
So it's a great instruction for God to start with, because if you get that right, it gets easier with other people.
Yeah. And it sets up your kids for it to be easier for them going down the list of commandments.
Totally right.
I mean, you know, I'm thinking of do not steal.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of do not commit adultery. It'd be interesting to see the statistics on those sins.
Right.
Among people who came from a healthy home and people who didn't.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
Anything else you want to say about this?
No, I mean, I just, if you're listening out there and wherever you're at and however this is hitting you, I would just reemphasize, God starts with us where we're at.
Yeah.
And if we want to grow, he's willing to help us grow by his Spirit's strength, and it happens in a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you need friends who help nurture that, and it's important because it is the pathway to life.
If you happen to hear this message at Nazareth or on the Nazareth website, it's all together as one. We split it up into two parts for Christian Crusaders, and we will link those two parts in the comments or the description of this podcast. That'd so you great. Can go hear it if you haven't heard it yet.
Yeah. And I think the whole thing is on the Christian Crusaders broadcast. It might be a little shortened version on the Nazareth website, but.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Thanks for being here, Tim.
You bet. Thank you, Matt. We'll do it again.
The CC Podcast is part of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, started in 1936 and is one of America's longest-running radio ministries. We are 100% donor-funded, and donations to our ministry are 100% tax-deductible. So if you are encouraged, challenged, or inspired by today's conversation, please consider making a donation on our website, christiancrusaders.org, or mail a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. In addition to our other podcasts, which I mentioned at the front of this episode, I want to mention two of our other ministry partners worth checking out. First, the Cedar Falls Bible Conference, equipping believers with the truth of God's Word since 1922. Visit cedarfallsbibleconference.com for free access to previous conference content or for more information about upcoming events. Second is Power to Change Digital Strategies, an online ministry partnering volunteer Christian mentors with people around the world searching the internet for answers. If you or someone you know could benefit from an anonymous online conversation with a caring Christian adult, go to issuesiface.com. Or if you would like to be a volunteer Christian mentor, please visit p2cdigital.com. That's the letter P, the number 2, and the letter C, digital.com. See our episode notes for details and links. And remember to subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and write a review. God's richest blessings to you. And thanks again for listening.